But I'm Sheila Savannah. I'm a division manager at the City of Houston Department of Health and Human Services. And one of the best things about what I do in the Office of Planning, Evaluation, and Program Development is our adolescent health work. And that's because it really builds on a number of initiatives and really allows us to pull out the strength of our young people as well as a broad range of organizations. When I say it builds on a lot of collaborations, I wanted to highlight some of the work that also I think echoes how federal dollars, even when they aren't coordinated at the federal level, can be coordinated at the local level. In 2005, we received a SAMHSA System of Care grant, and it was funded to the county, and it really began to build a multi-agency board that included the health department, juvenile justice, mental health, as well as child welfare. And because it was built on the system of care principles, that board also included parents and youth. So it really began the foundation of how do you, one, have strength-based language that guides collaboration. It focused on that tertiary prevention that I think a number of us have mentioned, but it started this strength-based language that also is very echoed in prevention work. Soon afterwards, the coalition was funded by the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health to do an analysis of what are the opportunities and missed opportunities to infuse mental health intervention. And what that did is allowed us to look across schools, parks, different environments where we had an opportunity to know who were the children that were struggling the most and what was the kind of skill base that was needed for those employees or that workforce to be better prepared. We didn't end there. We kind of leveraged in another piece that was Department of State Health Services funded, and that really allowed us to do a strength-based assessment. We surveyed 5,000 youth using the 40 developmental assets, which is a strength-based assessment on what they felt were their strengths and where they felt they had needs. What we found, we also used youth surveyors to conduct that and work through our organizations, parks department, YMCAs, Boys and Girls Clubs. And what we found was pretty interesting. One, the young people always struggled with this sense of place. They were becoming much more a cyber generation. They were in magnet schools that pulled them out of their home schools. They didn't know their zip codes. And so it really helped us understand that where they felt most risk was in this definition of community. Where they felt strength was in family, in some of the organizations, but they really struggled with feeling a sense of a safe community and a community that valued them. So in response to that assessment, we did a lot of micro-granting to youth groups to allow them to invest in community, to do projects, cleanups, campaigns in their neighborhoods. We also did funded peer health ambassadors that would then learn health messages and take them to their parks and their different community environments. Building on that, we were recipients of the CDC Strive grant, which really allowed us as a partnership to focus keenly on this issue of youth violence. Our comprehensive plan really had to echo all of this other work as well in order to keep all of those partners engaged. But it allowed us to do some evidence-based strategy pilots that really are informing the overall process and to become much more sophisticated in our data decision-making. We were recently the recipient of the Episcopal Health Charities Award, which is specifically focused on healthy relationships. I think that was one of the things that our young people said again and again, the violence begins interpersonal. The violence is in our home, it's in every relationship that we have. And so that award will allow us to have our young peer ambassadors really design interventions that'll go into school-based clinics, into our health centers, into those same youth-serving organizations, and create a link to the kinds of organizations that can intervene. I wanted to mention, Houston is large, Texas is large. And, I think people say that and don't really realize the magnitude of this work. Just geographically, our 2010 census really informed us that youth age 11 to 18 in Harris County, we have close to 500,000 youth that are age 11 to 18. So for a partnership that's large and for a jurisdiction that is huge, it's really about how do we bring it to scale. So every strategy we employ, it requires two things. One, that there's investment from every partner at the table. And if that's a parent or a young person, it's investment of time, investment of their knowledge of their community. If it's an organization, it's a willingness to spend their resources to implement a strategy, to really look at how does it change their business. So the map that you have in front of you really shows Harris County and some of the primary neighborhoods. The circle that you see is where our STRIVE work is focused. It's in Police District 14, it's in South Houston. But really the work there is to inform the larger county. So our county partners, our larger organizational partners are there to say, how can we take what we learn at a local neighborhood level and really take it to scale? Because even though we know that policies need to be broad, implementation must be culturally adaptive. And in a city like Houston, you have so many different rich cultures that we, one, have to make sure that we are infusing their strengths and we're also addressing the special risks that are experienced in those neighborhoods. So our comprehensive plan is broad, and it's interrelated between youth voice, youth health, and youth safety. And we've come to really look at the fact that we're trying to elevate youth voice. And youth voice sometimes is youth leadership, making sure that there's youth leadership in all our organizations. But youth voice is also about being more attuned to how young people ask for help, really making sure that organizations don't turn a deaf ear when young people are belligerent or angry, or when they don't ask for help is often when they need it the most. And really trying to make sure that frontline workers have that skill that helps them understand that each young person may ask for help differently. Emphasizing youth health is really our focus on health in all policy, making sure that organizations like the YMCA understand their key role in recreation, in understanding that that physical activity, one, is key to fighting obesity, but also that in terms of aggression, it's really important that young people have a way to become, I think, free-range kids in some ways, where they can go out and play and discover and aggressively work off some of their energies. And then ensuring youth safety. And that's really where we really started focusing on this sense of environment, that even though our interventions can, there are organizations that intervene at the individual level. Our work was really to change the environments to make sure that we had good strategies to make them safer environments. We see these as interrelated and inseparable. Now, our collaborating for safer places, that's why SEPTED really resonated with our partnership. It was on those outer environmental levels. It was infused in community. It gave a role for numerous partners. And what we found is there was a lot of work already in Houston that was not connected that was supporting those principles. The police department was doing SEPTED training with civic clubs. The school district, as they hired architects, made sure that they went through a brief orientation of SEPTED. LISC was investing in community organizations, and part of their orientation in the Go Neighborhood program was a SEPTED training. Crime prevent, this is just some of the, I'll work fast. So what I want to say on SEPTED, an amazing kind of set of principles. Natural surveillance and visibility, access control, target hardening. It's really built around not only making places safer, but reducing the opportunity for crime. I invite you to look at the work out of New Zealand. What we found is even though our local and our U.S. descriptions of crime prevention through environmental design were just that, what they frame it as is safer places, creating safer places. So we found that the family-first language out of the New Zealand guides were much more informative and much more inclusive for us to be able to train community residents and youth. I wanted to share with you a couple of the pictures. What we found is that Public Works and Engineering was doing a number of green space projects. This is a ditch in Acres Homes. And what they did is they just cleared the ditch, but then they had a civic organization that adopted it to maintain it. And just by the fact of them coming out to clear that ditch, to maintain the plants, that gives a different kind of surveillance to that area and the homes on both sides of that street. Here's another cleanup project in South Union OST. And I wanted to highlight some of the indicators or the data that's important to Public Works. They felt it was important for them to look at the number of volunteers, the pounds in debris, the number of tires. But those are things that are relevant to that partner and cause them to invest significant dollars in our SEPTED work. Also, through that cleanup, a church that was adjacent to it decided, you know what, let's open up part of our fence and we'll build a community garden. So this is an example of semi-private space activity that then helps build that whole place of environment. Palm Center Park, 10 years ago, I remember this lot. It was a vacant lot. It was some dilapidated buildings adjacent to it. It has been developed as a really strong partnership, Public Works, LIST, the management district. But what it needs now is more youth activities. So we're pulling the YMCA into that coalition, the Urban League into that coalition, to make sure that there are a number of youth activities that are then housed at this park. This is, and I'm sorry this picture isn't really great, designed for a safer community. At a community, one of our community meetings, a young person said, you know, if you really want to work on safety, start across the street from our school. Across from the school, Sterling High School, there was 33 acres of vacant land. And I think for developers, they felt like it was a great green space. And isn't it wonderful that Houston has such open green space? But what he saw inside that was that there were clubhouses. There was drug activity. When we talked to the school, there were a number of incidents where kids were dragged in there and beaten up. It was a risk. Right on the other side of that 33 acres are three low-income apartment complexes. So you have pathways through there that make it a very high-risk corner. We took it as an opportunity. The school is being redesigned, and so as they redesign that campus, we're asking the property owner to consider how can that land be a part of the redesign. I wanted to just highlight how every partner has a different WIFM. What's in it for me? And so it's really important from an organizing standpoint to find out what do your partners want. Because if you want to sustain the work, they have to stay invested for a long time. So it has to meet their needs. We started outlining what those needs were, what those indicators are, and we found that it did fit really well into the socio-ecological model. Yes, at the policy level, we want to see shared use agreements. That was important to the property owner, that she knew that there wouldn't be a risk. She wouldn't have liability as students went onto her property or as Public Works cleared it. The management district and civic clubs, Public Works, wanted to make sure it improved the environment. Specifically, Public Works is using dollars that are invested for improving the drainage. Once we saw the kinds of toxins that were being dumped on that site, they were able to tap into other dollars to make sure that they were improving the water drainage and runoff quality. Reduced and removed illegal dumping, but also sparking economic development in that area. The apartment complexes, basically they said, we rent to drug dealers because they pay their rent. If this were safer, we would have Section 8 voucher families that would then rent here and stay here. So they're invested because they want to see that indicator of their occupancy rate change. Multi-agency youth training is one of the ways that we will employ SEPTED throughout a number of organizations. We definitely will be tracking the criminal activity and victimization. for the youth and families and schools. What they wanted to see was more more investment on reduced citations, but also, did young people have a way of investing? Can they have community service hours? Community service hours both for academic purposes as well as for their juvenile justice purposes. We have kids on probation that have to work community service hours, but it's really important to them that that be meaningful, and often it's not. I think overall, though, it's about every partner feeling an empowerment to make a contribution to changing the risk factors. And that's one of the reasons that we feel this is really important. And I have one more minute. I think overall it's something for everyone in this kind of work. And it's really important when you're working with large coalitions and collaborations to take the time. The collaboration multiplier is a good tool because it stops to really say, what is the strength in every partner that you're bringing to the table? Thank you.